Hey, shalom everyone. I'm Amir Tzarfati from Connect in Galilee, and this is one more episode of the Anchor podcast. And today, we're going to host somebody from within our ministry that has a huge vision for the young adults in America and actually all over the world. We're going to talk to Jason Comins, our Director of Tours and Conferences, who is now undertaking a much bigger role in light of our new vision, which we want to expose to you probably for the first time. So without further ado, Jason, shalom. How are you?
Great. Thank you. I just arrived here this morning from Las Vegas. Yeah. Landed at 4 a.m. in Tel Aviv after a 36-hour flight or 36-hour itinerary that was supposed to be an 18-hour itinerary.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Israel, because that's the land of everything has to be more difficult than what it is.
It's a joy to be back after 2.5 years of not being here. So
that's true. Ever since the war started, we had to cancel first the, we had to cancel all of the tours basically, mm-hmm. and we just resumed them. And but Jason, it's interesting because this is exactly how we got to know you. Yeah. You came to Israel on one of our young adults tour.
Yep.
I remember that was the time that was pretty rough for us as a ministry. And I was looking for a personal administrative assistant to help me. You were not even looking for a job at the time. You were working for a very big company in Las Vegas. And you joined our young adults tour. What made you come on one of our tours?
Well, yeah, I mean, and the company I was working for was actually at the time we were living in Phoenix.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Phoenix. And I was at a point in my life spiritually where I had come out of Bible college and I had gone through a pastoral internship. And but we had this new calling to go down to Phoenix and take on a new, I took on a new job with a big golf company in the States. And throughout my time there, though, I'd gotten to this place where I realized my family's in a new place now where we don't really know anyone. We're plugged into a church. But why was it that I felt like I had such grounding coming out of Bible college, and now just a few years removed, I feel like I'm like kind of on my own and really don't know anything. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of my household. And I was at this point where I was like, man, if I don't grab a hold of my faith, if I don't start forcing myself to engage the word more often and engage the Lord in prayer and serve in the church, I'm going to, I could be on a path to destruction just like anyone else. Mm-hmm. Here I am one day sitting in my office working, and I have two screens. And I remember thinking, I want to look up something about the book of Daniel, because it had been so long since I had done a study on the book of Daniel. And so go to YouTube, I type in Daniel 70 weeks, because I wanted a refresher course on this vision. I had been reading a book by Dr. David Jeremiah at the time, and I come across this video of a guy named Amir Tzarfati teaching in Euless, Texas. First result in my YouTube. So I click it and I'm listening. And then I realize you have all these other teachings. And I was like, wow, this sounds so familiar. This is so solid. This reminds me of all the things I learned going through school and what I learned through these Bible studies. And yeah,
you to join the tour?
Yeah. So you were doing Middle East updates back at the time. It was just from your iPhone, wherever you were doing a Middle East update. And you announced that there were going to be scholarships, that there had been enough donations for an X amount of young people to be scholarship to come to Israel in 2019, because this is 2018. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm probably one of a billion students that are going to apply for this, but what the heck, like, why not? I through all those studies, I had grown to have a reignited passion and for Israel and understanding how God is moving in the world today through Israel. And so I was like, well, I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. So I applied and the ministry reached out. Then I found out I was technically a year too old to go.
You went through a special exemption.
And I got a call from a board member, Gail Frank, around Christmas time of 2018. And he said, he asked me some questions. And then I heard from our tour and events coordinator, Donna Lee Susich, In February of 2019, she said, "You've been accepted. Your scholarship is X amount." And that is how I ended up here.
A lot of people don't know, but first of all, our tours are not there to make money. Yep. And not only that, but when it comes to the young adults, we're actually paying for the people to come rather than, when I say paying, I'm saying covering the tour expense. So it will not be only those who can afford should come to Israel.
Yeah.
It should be for anyone who has a calling, anyone whom we feel should also be part of this. And we have people from the Philippines and Japan, people from other parts of Southeast Asia. We had people from Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia, Western Europe.
There were like over a dozen countries represented on my tour in 2019. Yes.
So, and then of course, America, Mexico, Canada, and others. So yeah.
So I found you on YouTube, and so the next thing I know, I'm on one of your tours in Israel.
Yes, and then again, that was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The world was different. It's a different world. 2019, it's almost like BC, before crazy COVID and everything else. Oh, BC before COVID.
Yeah.
but the thing is, shortly after that, you showed interest, or even during the tour, you already showed interest in helping us in that need of, because you were sort of an assistant to a CEO at that time.
Yeah, I was an executive assistant. And it was actually, you happened to be sitting in front of me on the bus. And
I didn't even talk to you. I talked to someone else and you overheard.
Well, no, I was telling one of our other staff members what I did for work. He was asking me about it. And you turned around on the bus and you said verbatim, "Well, if your boss ever kicks you out, let me know. I need an assistant." Mm. And I didn't even, it went in one ear and out the other. I was sure I would retire from where I was before.
It was that
because most people did. Well, look, a lot of the head people are Christians. Mm. They're a faith-based family. They took very good and continue to take very good care of their employees. It was an awesome work environment. They had a very low turnover rate. I just assumed, looking around at my peers, like, wow, a lot of people retire here. I probably will too. And so I didn't take you seriously. Like it didn't even stick with me for 3 seconds. But it wasn't until 2 days later when we were, I think, at Capernaum that Donna Lee walked up to me and she said, "So, I know you probably thought Amir was joking, but we actually really are looking for an assistant for him." And that's where everything started.
And I remember you got back and we told you, why don't you pray about it? Talk to your wife.
Yeah, you said pray about it for a month.
Yes, a whole month. I don't want to hear from you for a whole month. Pray and make sure this is something. And we also needed to pray about that as well. Before we know it, I think by September.
August. Yeah.
You were already, you joined us. And a few months later, the world changed.
Yeah.
Literally, a few months later, the world changed. So that began a whole series of interesting seasons and challenges that we as a ministry went through and developed into what we are today. So take us through that journey for you.
Yeah, I mean,
from your perspective.
Well, especially like we always say hindsight is 2020, and no pun intended with the 2020 being the COVID year, but the point being, you know, you're not always going to see what God is doing and know everything in advance. And in fact, I would say that that's seldom the case. It's when you look back, you realize, man, at the time I was questioning that, but God was totally involved in that. And I just, as I look back, I see these stepping stones. I mean, come on. I find you on YouTube. I end up on one of your tours. And I just realize what I was doing at the time, God was using that season to prepare me for what I'm doing now. And, but yeah, so I joined the ministry in August of 2019, and just within a few months, reality around the world has changed. Come by the time it's February of 2020, which was our last tour before COVID, the whole world's going into chaos, lockdown. No one knows what it's going to look like the following week, but it was amazing how God, that was like for me anyways, from my perspective administratively and just seeing what we were doing online and in person, while our in-person engagements took a hiatus, God used that season of COVID to just blow open the door for online ministry and reach so many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world.
I think
in new ways.
We may have tripled our audience during COVID.
Yeah.
And it's kind of stayed like that since. And again, even then, I don't know if it's secretly, but your heart was still beating mostly for the young adults, and you were, and you still, all the way until recently, you were hoping to somehow at some point get to the point where you will be more involved in that.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, even in my role as your full-time admin, because of the nature of how small of a staff we are, I still got to be involved in a lot of things that weren't under my job title, but they're under the ministry's job, the ministry's needs. And so I got to be involved in a lot of really cool things. Our young adults tour at post-COVID in 2022, our young adults retreat in 2021 that we hosted in the US as a supplement, because we weren't doing anything for young adults for a couple of years. I still got those opportunities to interact with young people. And we had a young adults discipleship, YAD for our listeners, that lasted throughout the COVID season to disciple young people online that I jumped in on and listened to occasionally. There were still those opportunities, which has been a really cool blessing as well. So it's not like I was glued to just what was in the job description. I had God and the ministry opened up so many other doors for me to have some hands-on experience.
So from the get-go, the ministry did have a heart for the young adults, but we never put a big emphasis on it.
Yeah. Young adults tours was about our emphasis.
Exactly. And we whenever we could do more, we did more, but it wasn't really truly the calling of the ministry at the time. Hmm. And you were with me when October 7th hit. And I was up all night because, 6:30 a.m. Israel time is 11:30 p.m. the night before East Coast. Yeah. And we were in the East Coast.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. And I was in the heart of the city of Philadelphia watching live on my phone what was going on in my own country.
Yeah.
I did not sleep the whole night. And the next day I was supposed to teach in a conference, which I did. I don't know how I did it, but I did. Yeah. And the whole thing, literally everything changed my life since. And we were at first shocked at what we saw, and we were mourning and what happened to Israel. And less than 2 weeks later, everything turned around and we were exposed to, I'm taking my words back. While we were in Philadelphia,
the
next day we saw a pro-Palestinian rally marching down the streets of Philadelphia for the Palestinians.
And this is before Israel did anything
to
respond.
We did not even recruit and drafted the soldiers to go and fight yet. And the rallies began. The anti-Israel slogans were already echoing in the streets of the big cities. We were looking at one another. It was like, what is going on here? We were just massacred.
Right.
And it's anti-Israel marches in the streets of that, by the way, today we know it was all planned, pre-planned. But that really changed a lot in the way we saw things. But it wasn't until we got way deep into the war that we realized the destructive effect of this propaganda on Gen Z. The Gen Z that is exposed on TikTok to propaganda, lies, and manipulation. The algorithm will only show bad things and many times cooked videos from Gaza, where Israel was portrayed as the aggressor and the killer, or the baby's killer, and all of that. And we realized there's a problem here.
Yeah.
And there's a big problem, in parallel to what we were realizing, I think the head of the largest young adults organization in America also saw the problem there, Charlie Kirk. And in his letter to the Prime Minister of Israel, he detailed a plan of action that he suggests we should take, because he said, you're losing the information war.
And you don't do that, by the way, unless you love Israel.
Absolutely. Yeah. He actually said that in that letter twice. Yeah. I say it because I have deep love for the Jewish people and for Israel. Therefore, it pains me to see that you're losing the information war and that you lose support among the conservative young adults. And then, of course, Charlie was assassinated. Not to mention that immediately some Groypers said that Israel did it. Of course, we did not do it. And of course, everybody in America knows we did not do it. But of course, not while letting another opportunity to blame Israel go unnoticed. But the thing is this, you and I attended the memorial of Charlie Kirk. You graciously, came all the way to Phoenix to help me get there, and through one of your relatives, I think, who works for TPUSA, we managed to get a badge that allowed us to be in the floor, actually pretty close to the stage. And halfway into the memorial, I could already see something wrong. I don't think you noticed that, but
I didn't catch it at the time.
Yeah, but I caught it right then and there. I saw how Tucker Carlson took the stage. Of course, I already knew how obsessed he is with Israel, but I didn't think he's going to go that low and in Charlie's memorial do that.
Right.
But he did.
He did.
He was standing there suggesting and insinuating that what happened to Charlie is exactly what happened to Jesus, and that those who don't like to hear the truth are the ones that took the life of the one who spoke the truth. He basically painted Jesus as someone who was wrongfully assassinated and became a martyr, which obviously tells me he doesn't understand the gospel.
Right.
And he took the opportunity again to, under the belt, attack Israel.
Because a Christian one who understands the gospel and therefore is a Christian doesn't beat to this drum.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you could see that when Rubio received the stage, he was completely on a different note. Mm-hmm. So was Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, and others. But as I said, Tucker, with his many, many millions of followers, were, you know, showing something completely different. And then right after Charlie's death, I could already see the direction everything goes.
Yeah.
Because now Tucker is one of the main figures on every TPUSA event. God help us when a student is going to ask Tucker about Israel, and we know exactly that his answer is going to be totally different than the one of Charlie's. And this is when we realized that we have to help in order to fix it within TPUSA, if we can. And B, if it's not going to work, we also need to take initiative and do our own things.
Yeah.
Because we cannot stay silent in light of what we see.
Well, and this is the heart of Behold Israel as a whole, is taking the truth about Israel, past, present, future, and not only equipping the church and discipling the church with that truth, but also getting that truth out to the world. And that's every generation. And so it's not like we're changing the mission of the ministry. This is already the existing mission of why and what we do. But now we're putting a new emphasis that has such a demand and urgency, which is for the next generation, for Gen Z.
Exactly. And so Gen Z is what we are targeting in a brand new initiative that we have for young adults. And tell us more about that vision, and what is it in practice that we are going to do with the help of anyone that decides to support this.
Yeah, so with the emphasis on Gen Z. And if you go on our website on beholdisrael.org, and if you go under the About tab, you can see our Young Adult Strategic Vision. You can see in detail not only our full laid out vision there, but also you can see details of how you can partner with us through giving as well, because it's going to have a lot of needs that come with it. Yeah. Prayer as well as financial needs as well to support what we're going to be doing. But there's really four pillars, four angles of approach to how this practically plays out. First of all, it's social media. It's the information war. And really, it's a war on truth is ultimately what it is. And so our intention and our commitment is to engage on these platforms, and not just passively, but aggressively. And of course, we're going to model biblical Christianity. We're going to be as shrewd as serpents, but as innocent as doves in our approach. But we are going to be intentional to target this young audience that is finding their news in reels, in stories. And there's great danger, by the way, in accepting these things that just pass through your algorithm as news, as fact, if they go unfettered, unfiltered. But this is where young people are, whether we like it or not. And this is where Gen Z spends its time, whether we like it or not. So social media and finding new creative content that puts the truth in front of this generation is going to be one of the biggest focuses of what we're doing. Secondly, it's creating curriculum. This is part of how it plays out. And it's going to be curriculum based on not just our knowledge of the Bible, what the Bible has to say, but also historical facts, these truths that are at everyone's disposal. Mm-hmm. They just need to be made aware of them. And it's not curriculum in the sense of we need to be there for you to understand it all. It's curriculum that's going to be designed so for churches, for young adult groups, so that others can teach others.
Yes.
That's the model, because we want everyone to be disciple makers, mm-hmm. right? We shouldn't have to be there for that to happen. Another approach is speaking engagements, of course, whether it's at young adult groups, if it's on college campuses. And just so you know, our intention is to engage the church and the unchurched, the churched and the unchurched. They both need to hear this, because this battle we're fighting is not dealing with just people outside the church. We're dealing with tons of people who call themselves Christians and fall under the umbrella of the churched. And we need to have these conversations, because we're on a very dangerous road right now. And this next generation is on a very dangerous path when it comes to their worldview regarding Israel. But also, we already have something that pre-exists, and that's our young adults tours to Israel. Lives are changed when young people come here. My life was changed. I already had a strong passion for Israel, but coming here really renewed that. And you probably don't remember this, but we were actually on that tour. We got off the bus at Mount Precipice. It was the first full day of the tour, and you were having a conversation with me, and I had just told you how I had been involved at a church for 3 years, but I realized that it really has no, even though I had formed relationships, I had been heavily invested, it has no regard for God's future for the nation of Israel. And through tears, I left that church. And I was telling you that just before this tour, that in 2019, I had left that church. And you said, well, you made the right decision. And we had a little bit more of a dialogue. And I realized, like, because at the time I'm like, is this really worth leaving a church over? And as time has gone on, I've realized if pastors and leaders are wrong about Israel, they're going to be wrong about so much. If you get Israel wrong, you're going to get most of the Bible wrong. Israel tours are going to be enhanced now for young adults. They're already very powerful, but we're going to find new creative ways to really maximize that time when we have a young adult audience from all over the world in the land of the Bible, testifying to the truth of the Bible and God's promises. Yeah. And we're going to be creative in our approach to make them more powerful and see lasting and multiplying fruit as young people go home.
Yep. Yeah. And again, people need to understand that that's what we're trying to convey. Israel has nothing to do with politics. What we are trying to teach has nothing to do with how important Israel is to American economy or to American geopolitical relationships.
And that's where all these guys get it wrong.
Exactly. We're not even talking about that.
Right.
What we talk about is Bible, is the heart of God for the nations in regards to Israel and the heart of God for Israel in regards to the nation.
Yeah.
And the fact that you cannot call yourself a believer and stand against that which God is for.
Right.
And you cannot stand for that which God is against.
How can you curse what God has blessed?
Exactly. And so what we care about is that people will be aligned with the truth of the word of God, because that's when they will be set free of so much hatred, confusion, and attack, demonic attack from the enemy. I believe that there's a lot of people who really truly think they're Christians, but they're not. They're the five foolish virgins. They think they all look great and they say the right words and every tweet ends with Christ is King.
Yeah.
And everything looks great when they take five or six verses out of context and use them as their flagship verses against Israel. But in reality, they don't know the context. They don't know where it's from. They don't see the full picture. They throw to the garbage the entire Old Testament.
Right.
If the Old Testament is not really important, then what is it that Jesus used when he was here?
Yeah.
What is it that Paul used to preach the gospel? There was no New Testament at that time. The Old Testament is only old because there is new, but it's not less. You cannot dismiss one and elevate the other when both are the word of God. And so we aim to bring people to the full understanding of the message of God and the fact that God's handling with Israel actually should be celebrated,
mm-hmm.
not anything less. And so, I think that I'm really looking forward to what this Gen Z focused initiative is going to be. You know, a lot of people, I think the world, turned the word Zion into a curse, almost a curse, a derogatory term, almost like if you want to paint someone bad, don't call him Israeli, call him Zionist.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Muslim terrorists call us Zionists. Now the left is calling us Zionist. Now the jihadists call us Zionist.
And now the conservatives.
And now the conservative right is called, I call it the Reich. They call us Zionists.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the Word of God, God is the biggest Zionist ever.
Yeah.
He chose Zion to be his dwelling place.
Yeah.
He invented the name, and he's the one who says, I will bring them back to their own land. Mm-hmm. This whole vision of Jews coming back to the land is not even man-made. It's God-made.
Yeah.
It's not even possible for man to do that. Up until today, there's not a single reasonable explanation to the birth or rebirth of Israel. There's no such thing in history.
And isn't it? Like, there's two things that come to mind. One, I think it's ironic in the worst way that when I see Christ as King in someone's bio, I automatically go, oh boy, here we go.
Exactly.
And then I go into their feed and I realize more often than not, these are the most vile, self-proclaimed Christians and conservatives in America.
They hijack that term.
Oh, yeah. You go into their bio and it is the most disgust, or not their bio, excuse me, their feed, and you're seeing the most vile consistencies, you're seeing profanity everywhere, and it's all covered up by Christ as King.
It reminds me of the emblem of the yellow ribbon of the hostages, and the left here, who wants to topple the government, hijacked it. And now next to every name that you see a yellow ribbon, I don't even need to check. I know he is anti-government rather than pro-hostages.
I see.
Same thing. And so, I mean, you see that and you realize, man, it's almost like anyone who's using pronouns, you know exactly where he's at. Hello?
Yep.
You know, and who would use it?
And on the other side of that too is, or I guess alongside that would be, I think it's really alarming and it should be a huge wake-up call to those who call themselves Christians. Here you have in Ezekiel 36 that what you just referenced, that and where God says, when you're out of your land, my name was profaned among the nations. Not because they were cursing his name, but because the nations were making fun of God, were mocking God.
Aren't you God's people, and why are you not in the land?
And so he says, it's not for your sake, O Israel, that I'm about to do what I'm going to do, but it's for my holy name.
Absolutely.
And he says, and the nations are going to know that I'm the Lord when I put you back in your own land. So here's what's crazy. God says the nations are going to know, yet the church doesn't even know. In fact, the church is profaning God's name because the people are back in the land.
That's how diabolic it is.
That is so upside down and backwards. It's so inverted that now we have those under the umbrella of Christianity that are profaning the name of God because he's fulfilled his promise.
And I think I tweeted that this morning. The good thing is, at least, there's only one good thing about this anti-Semitism that is spreading all around, that is sourced out of this replacement theology. The funny thing is that because when the Jewish people see that even their closest friends, the conservatives and Christians, are now turning on them, eventually they'll move to Israel. And your anti-Zionist notion helps promoting Zionism the most. They'll be back in the land. Whether it may not be their first choice, but what you do to them is now causing them to move. And by doing that, they will fulfill the essence of Zionism, of returning back to Zion. So God will eventually get the glory, and he eventually says the last word. The question is, where are you in this?
Yeah.
I always say, eventually, things are set to happen. Jews will be back. The Antichrist is going to rise. Ezekiel's war is going to happen. Mm-hmm. The tribulation will happen. You cannot stop these things.
No.
The only question is, where are you going to be when these things happen? And it's based on your decisions, your actions, your words, and your stance. So I truly pray and hope that this new vision that we have will be fully Holy Spirit filled.
Yeah.
We don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Anything, nothing. I mean, honestly, nothing. If it's not from God,
yep,
we are wasting our time, our resources.
Yep. Like Moses said, God, if you're not going, we're not moving.
And that's what I always sign on my books. You know, Exodus 33, verse 13. If you know, and for me, it's important not only that it's from the Lord, and of course the Spirit of God is behind it, but also I want people to support it with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, you know, you're doing that. I want people to understand how destructive it is for their own families, their own churches, their own communities, and to pray and give and support because they understand what the stakes are here.
Well, and that's, I think that really sums up, I think that leads us into why prioritize this? You know, why, like you use the word sincere with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good word, because why? Like, why?
Because it's destructive.
Yeah. Like, why?
It destroys everything, because once you start questioning Israel, you start questioning prophecy. Third of the Bible is through the window, and you have a problem with the character of God.
And that's that right there.
That's it.
Is the heart of what I think, if I were to boil it all down to why do this? Well, I think it goes back to the heart of Behold Israel in its entirety, is it's worth it because God sees it as an extremely valuable thing when you take his promises seriously. And that's faith. When you take God at his word, that's faith that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And he rewards those people, by the way. And without that faith, you can't please him either. But why do it? Because for me, I think of two things and how it's impacted my life. You know, when you come to understand Israel and its biblical scope, and when you understand Israel, you understand the days in which you live, and you understand the biblical timeline and where you are on it.
Mm.
You live very effectively.
Absolutely.
When you fully understand the times in which you live. And that's something reiterated throughout the word too. You ought to know the times and the seasons. You know, you don't know the day or the hour, but you better know the times and the seasons, because that's how then you know what to do. And secondly, the story of Israel is so, whether you're a skeptic or a supporter, it doesn't change the fact that God's story of it with Israel, God's history with Israel up to the very present and the future, has huge implications for the security of the believer. If God can be so faithful to a nation in unbelief, a nation in rebellion, a nation that left its land and God has brought back, and yet he still remains faithful, Do you have any clue just of how much he loves his children and how he draws his children back? His serious implications for the security of me as a Gentile believer going, man, God, it is not about how I can figure out how to get out of God's hand. It's that I can never get out of his hand. Yeah. And I know that when I look at his relationship with Israel going, this relationship goes back thousands of years, and I'm living in the midst of his promises right now.
And I can tell you, look, as we sit here, I'm not sure if the sound was picked on the microphone, but we heard multiple takeoffs of F-16s because the adversary wants to destroy Israel.
Mm.
Which side do you want to be on? On the side of the jihadist that wants to destroy Israel? And I wonder why they want to destroy Israel. Or on the side of the one who brought us back here, and that's what makes the adversary so angry.
Hmm.
So,
Israel's a spiritual reality.
Absolutely, but it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come here and see it for yourself. Not long ago, right behind you, Jason, a rocket fell. It's not just news that we hear. We see it. We feel it. We smell it. It's our daily life, and we're proud that we're here. We are super excited to be back in our land. And you know, you go back, read your Bible, read scrolls that were written at least 2,500 years ago. All you find is Jewish people in the land. Certainly not Muslims here. We did not take anybody's land. If anything, that land was taken from us. And God is the one who brought us back to this land, the same land that used to be ours even before. Jason, I want to thank you for being our guest here today. We pray that God is going to prosper this new initiative, and that apart from running our tours and conferences and cruises, you will also be used by God for this thing in a powerful way. And to all of you guys, I want to say, keep praying for our ministry and this endeavor. This is a great undertaking in this time and season. Pray for Jason. Pray for new recruits that we're going to get to help him. Pray for provision, protection, and wisdom. And above all, that we will never, ever move an inch away from the perfect will of God for this ministry. Thank you for watching this super important Anchor podcast. Please share it with as many people as you can. Down below, in the lower third, you will see the link that leads you to our website, that shows you the vision that we have and how you can be part of it. Thank you, and God bless you, and shalom.